And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 10. Abraham now is in the land of Canaan. And this describes what happens when he's there. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen, when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but they will let you live. Please say, you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. In other words, she became part of his harem. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, and male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. An interesting story. Now, Abraham was a man of faith. He heard the call of God, it says, in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham responded to that call in faith. God said, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your culture, your country here, I want you to go into this land of Canaan, I'm going to give you that land, and I'm going to make a great nation of you. And so Abraham, it says, responded to that call. And the thing we were asking all of were here, have you heard the call of God, and have you responded to that call? God is calling people. We were singing that chorus, it said, hear Christ calling, come unto me. He's calling. As soon as men, the man and woman, sinned in Eden, God began calling them. He came to the garden looking for Adam, and he said, where are you, Adam? And so our God is a God who's calling sinners. He calls sometimes through circumstances, sometimes through the message of the gospel, hearing it preached, but he's calling, he's reaching out to people, saying, look, you need to get right with me, you need to be saved, you need to begin to follow what I want to teach you. And so he called Abram, and Abram responded. Now, the first thing then about Abram was, it was the call of God. But then it says he went with his father and with his brother and his nephew, and they went as far as Haran. They didn't go all the way to Canaan. God said, go to Canaan. But this was a compromise. We talked a little bit about that, that here, because of family, Abram said, well, okay, we can stay here. Because his father wanted to stay in Haran, halfway, didn't want to go all the way. And so it's a time of compromise in Abraham's life. And when you compromise, you're not fully carrying out the will of God. You're going part way, and you're trying to be satisfied with that. And it says that after his father died, then Abram said, okay, let's move now. We're going all the way. And they went down to Canaan, the land of Canaan. And in Canaan, there was a time of consecration. He says he came to this place near Bethel, and he pitched his tent there. This is in verse 8. And he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. This was a very critical time in his life. It's this time now when Abram really gives himself, I think, to the Lord. And he says, I'm going to make you my God fully. I'm not going to be a halfway person. I'm not going to compromise. And it was a time when he worshiped the Lord and called on his name. He consecrated himself. Now, when you accept the Lord, you can choose to be a halfway Christian if you wish. You have perfectly, your will is free. You can choose how far you want to go with the Lord. You can choose to disregard certain things in His Word. And you can choose to be a half-hearted Christian. Or you can be consecrated. One who says, God is going to be first in my life. You build an altar. You say, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. God is important. He is the center of my life. And you can do that and choose to live in this life as a pilgrim, as a sojourner. You're really here saying, I don't really fit in this world. I don't fit in this culture. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to be a part of the world around me. And you come to love God, and you want to worship Him, and you want to please Him. A time of consecration. And it can be a wonderful time in your life, a very important time. Now, so for some people, they do this the moment they accept the Lord. But for some, you accept the Lord, and then you're growing, and you're realizing what the Lord wants more and more. And then there comes that time when you really make a decision. Am I going to go all the way with the Lord? Or am I going to be just kind of half-hearted and pull back? And that, too, is a very important decision. The time when you say, look, I want God to be first in my life, and I'm going to follow Him. And I wonder if you've made that decision. You may say, well, I'm a Christian. I accepted the Lord. You could point back to a time, and you could say, there was a time when I heard the gospel and I received the Lord Jesus. I can look back to a time like that, March the 2nd. It's coming up fairly soon now, and that was the time when I first heard the gospel, my heart opened, and I received the Lord Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Now, for some people, at that moment, they're just so overwhelmed with the grace of God and with a desire to follow the Lord that they consecrate themselves at that moment. But for others, there may be just kind of a waiting time until finally they really face the claims of the Lord and they say, I don't want to be half-hearted anymore. I want to be all for Jesus. You sometimes think that song, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. And I think there was this time in Abram's life. Doesn't mean he was perfect, but Bethel was kind of a critical time, I think, in his life. Time when he really pitched his tent and built his altar and called on the name of the Lord. I was at a camp in Minnesota years ago. And there was a young man, a high school student, who after a meeting came up to me and he says, Uncle Don, I've accepted the Lord Jesus, but I've never really given myself to Him. He said, I'd like to do that this afternoon. And he was, young and in high school, but he was facing here the claims of the Lord Jesus, and he said, I want to give myself to Him. And I remember we prayed together, and he prayed just a simple, earnest prayer saying, Lord, I have accepted you, and I want to give myself to you. I want to live for you. He consecrated himself to the Lord. That was an important decision. That was years ago, nearly 40 years ago, I think now, 30 years ago. And it changed his whole life. Today he's a preacher of the Word of God. He's living for God. His life has been given over to God. A time of consecration. there was a time like that in Abram's life. Now, the unfortunate thing is, what we were reading about is another time of compromise. Because you can give yourself to the Lord, you can be serious, and yet you can relapse, you can slip back a little. Now, the scripture says a famine came to the land, and it was severe. There was a real drought, and Abram had flocks and herds, and the grass was drying up, and the springs, the water was getting scarce, and he began to panic. And he thought, what can I do? You know? And Egypt was beckoning. Egypt to the south had the Nile River. They could irrigate. They weren't dependent on the rains. In fact, it very seldom rains in Egypt. They get their water from the Nile as it comes down. And Abram looked down there and he thought, maybe I should move down to Egypt. Now, the Lord didn't tell him to move. The Lord told him to go to Canaan, never told him to leave. So he moved. He was guided by his circumstances. And earlier he had stayed in Haran because of his family, because of his father. He didn't go all the way to Canaan because of family ties. That's something we have to guard against. That can be a temptation. Family ties. A wife wants to please her husband. I remember once we saw a woman come to the Lord in Oklahoma, and, you know, we were reading and considering here the claims of the Lord. The Lord saying, you know, I want to be first in your life. And I remember the woman saying to me, I don't think I could ever put God before my husband. I've always put my husband first. You know, he was a very happy husband, I'm sure, because he idolized. Her life centered around him. And her first reaction was, I don't think I could put anyone in front of my husband. Well, that's dangerous, because the Lord says, yeah, I want to be first, even before family. And Abraham was delayed in getting down to Canaan because of family. Now here there's another temptation to compromise, and this was looking at circumstances and thinking of his own needs and his prosperity and so forth. And a temptation to compromise because of the pressure he's going through the time. Now God had said, go to Canaan. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. But it says of Abram that he chose to go to Egypt. Now I'm going to read a verse in Psalm 37. It's kind of interesting verse. Psalm 37. And verse 3 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So the exhortation is, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Don't let circumstances move you away from doing the will of the Lord. And so, this can be a real temptation. You remember Elimelech and Naomi. In the book of Ruth, it gives us the story of their lives. A famine came in Bethlehem. And, Elimelech thought, well, let's move. I'm gonna move, get away where there's more of a chance of being prosperous, and he moved to Moab. And you remember the story, it turned out to be a disaster for them. And for Naomi, she lost her husband. And she lost her two sons. And she's left with just her daughter-in-law. and her attitude as she came back to Bethlehem was, I went away full and I've come back empty. And that which seemed to be so promising, prosperity, turned out to be a tragedy for her. And so there's a warning there. The scripture says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Don't move simply because of circumstances. Don't leave your church fellowship because of difficulties. Sometimes a church fellowship where you feel God wants you to be, and you feel it's scriptural, and yet you may be going through difficult times. People may move, the numbers decrease, and then it's very easy for people to say, well, I think I'll go to another church, a big church. We're just losing people, and things are kind of bleak. But here the scripture would say, look, trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Don't let circumstances move you away from what you know God has called you to. And Abram knew God had called him to the land of Canaan. And he knew that God had given him wonderful promises. And here's this temporary time of difficulty. Difficulties come in life. And then it's a time to trust. Then there's a time to depend on the Lord. Then there's a time to cry out to the Lord. And it can be a growing time. I was talking to a man in jail. He was sentenced just this last week. And it was a time of real stress because he said he didn't do what he was accused of doing, and I believe him, and others do too. And it's just been a bad scene, a case, really, I think, of injustice. But we talked about it, and I said, you know, this can turn out to be a time of great spiritual blessing for you and your family. You're under this pressure. You feel things are unjust. How are you going to respond? And they responded in prayer and in trusting the Lord and crying out to the Lord. And he says, it's brought our family together. And it's been spiritually a time of rich blessing. And the good news was that he was given probation instead of being sent to prison. And so here the scripture says, look, when circumstances get difficult, don't just automatically run or move. If you are where God wants you to be, he says, dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. You're going to trust God. Don't understand what's happening. Abraham might have said, well, God, you told me to come here. Now there's a famine and things are getting kind of bleak. Difficult. You know, and God would have said to him, well, just trust me. Stay where you are. Trust me. Let your faith grow, because our faith grows through difficulty. And so there's a time here when Abram compromises. He moves to Egypt. When you begin to compromise, it's easy then to be led further and further away from what you know you ought to do. So when he goes to Egypt, he says to his wife, now, you've got a beautiful face. And she must have been a beautiful woman. Now, she wasn't a young woman at this time. She would have been a woman maybe in her middle 60s. But she had a beautiful face. And some older women can have very beautiful faces. And here, Abram said to her, now, I know you're a beautiful woman. And if I go down there, some of those Egyptians may decide we want that woman for a wife. And they'll kill me to get you. If I say, and if you say, we're married, we're going to be in trouble. Now, they were married. So he was lying. He was asking her basically to lie. He was going to compromise on the truth. Now, it was a half-lie. There was a half-truth involved. Because they both had the same father. They had different mothers. So she was a half-sister. So he was telling a half-truth. And he says, we get down there, you know, just, if we say you're just a sister, they'll maybe just leave me alone. Now the sad thing is, you got down there, And some of the princes look at her and they say, she's got a beautiful face. You know, she'd be a nice addition to your harem. Those kings love to collect women. The more the better. And the more beautiful. It's just kind of a prestige thing. You know, the king could say, look at all my beautiful wives here. And so the princess came to him and they said, yeah, here's this beautiful woman come down from Canaan and beautiful face. Why don't you get her? And she's the sister of this other man who's with her. Because we asked him. So Pharaoh sends over and takes her and puts her in his harem. Now God began to trouble him. And you might wonder, how could Abram do that? You know, I mean, where's his love for his wife? Isn't a husband supposed to protect his wife and defend her and preserve her purity and so forth? How could he do this? But you begin to get away from the Lord and begin to stop trusting him, and now you're depending on your reason. And And the truth was, too, women were not valued as much as men. It came to a case of sacrificing a man or a woman. In that culture, you sacrifice the woman. And Abram's attitude was, well, I don't want to die, so, you know, let her go to the harem. Now, through this time of compromise, and when he was being deceptive, God didn't quit. God didn't leave him alone. God basically said, you know, Abram, you're messing around here. You're not really functioning the way you started out here in faith. You're not doing the way you did at Bethel. You're compromising. You're down here in Egypt. And now you've given up your wife and she's in another man's harem. And but the Lord troubles Pharaoh. The Lord says, you know, I'm not giving up on Abram. And he troubles Pharaoh. And so it was that he treated Abram very well because of her. He gave Abram a lot of flocks and herds and so forth. Abram became a wealthy man during this time. And let me just say that just because you're making money or prospering financially doesn't mean you're doing what God wants you to do. Abram wasn't doing what God wanted him to do. But he was prospering. If you're just looking at finances, you'd say, well, Abram must be in the will of God. He's down in Egypt. He's lied about his wife. She's down in Pharaoh's harem. But God must be with him. Look at the way he's prospering. And I want to say this, financial prosperity doesn't mean God is blessing you. Now it may be if you're doing what God wants and you're living for the God and for the Lord and you're prospering, you can say, yes, the Lord's hand was in this. But also you can prosper all around us. We see wealthy people prospering who have no place for God in their lives at all. The wealthiest man in the world, Bill Gates, doesn't have room for God in his life. Money is not an indication of the blessing of God. But here Abram is being blessed. Now, it says, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. He began having trouble. Sicknesses, we don't know what the nature was, but he is having all kinds of problems. And it's revealed to him. God revealed to him that the reason he's having these problems is because of this woman you've taken. And she is not a single woman. She's married to this man who you think is just your brother. He's her husband. And so Pharaoh calls Abraham. And he says to him, what is this you've done to me? What have you done this to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. Now it's a sad thing when the world rebukes a Christian. The world comes to you, someone you're working with comes to you and says, you know, you're not acting like a Christian. That hurts. But the world has pretty high standards for Christians. We may excuse what we're doing, but the world will not. The world will say, look, you say you're a Christian, and you claim to be obeying God and following God, and you're not acting according to your faith, according to what you say you believe. And the world will hold you to a higher standard than sometimes Christians will. And Pharaoh is angry. He's upset. He says, why did you do this to me? You lied to me, you deceived me, and now your God is punishing me. And he says, I could have taken that woman and could have ended up sleeping with her. And God kept me from doing that. But here's your wife now. Please leave. I've had enough trouble. And you know, Christians that are out of the will of God are not a blessing to people around them. And Abram was not a blessing to Pharaoh, and he asked him to leave, and Abram leaves with his wife, and you wonder what they talked about. I think it was a very solemn time for him. I think she probably said to him, you know, why did we lie about this? Look at the trouble we've gotten into. It could have been much worse than it turned out. The Lord just kept his hand on us and kept Pharaoh from really molesting me. And I think it was a time when they drew near to the Lord again and they realized, oh Lord, we want to really put you first and live for you and do what's right. Now, the unfortunate thing is, sometimes we repeat the same mistake over again. And Abram did. Another situation with Abimelech, king of Gerar. But that's in chapter 20 of Genesis. But the lessons to learn from this. First of all, of course, a lesson we want to learn is that you need to respond to the call of God. Everyone in this room is either saved or lost. The Bible doesn't say there's a middle ground. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. And if you should die today, you need to ask yourself the question, where would I be? You may say, well, I'd be in the mortuary, lying in a coffin. No, your body would be there, but you wouldn't be there. The minute you die, the person that lives in this house goes to be either with the Lord or to the place of punishment for sin. And Jesus said there's no in between. You need to ask yourself the question. You need to settle this. And you need to be sure that you've received the Lord Jesus, that you've opened your heart to him and you've said, Lord Jesus, save me. I believe you died on the cross for me and I want you to save me. That's the most important decision you will make in your life. And then as Christians, we need to say, Lord, keep me from being a halfway Christian, a compromising Christian. It's so easy to drift and to just go halfway with the Lord, like it went to Haran, halfway to Canaan and stopped there. So easy to go down to Egypt. Difficulties come, circumstances are not what you would like to see, and you think, well, I am going to go to a place where I'll prosper more financially, and yet you're out of the will of the Lord. And when you're out of the will of the Lord, you're very vulnerable. I'm sure that Abram, if you'd said to him in years past, you know, you're going to get down in Egypt and your wife is going to be in Pharaoh's harem, I think he probably would have said, oh no, that won't happen to me. That won't happen to me. You don't know how far you can get away from the Lord. If you start compromising, you start going against what you know is right. And it can be very, very devastating. There's a couple we worked with here in this city some years ago, and both of them professed to be saved. They'd had a real drinking problem. We used to go down and get the wife out of the detox center sometimes. She'd get so drunk she'd pass out, and we'd take her, haul her down there to sober up. Both of them professed to be saved. And they were clean and sober for several years. And then she said to him, she said, you know, why don't we just start drinking a little bit? We won't get drunk. We won't do what we used to. But we'll just have a little liquor in the house. And we won't go to the bars anymore. But there's just a little drinking here in the house. She wanted to drink. And he struggled with it a little bit. And then he gave in. He says, okay, all right, we'll bring it in. So they began buying booze and bringing it into the house. And doing some drinking there. And once that started, the whole thing began to fall apart. The marriage began to fall apart. They had children. It became a hellish home. They compromised. They were drifting. And in time, the marriage fell apart. A very tragic thing. Now he doesn't even see his own children. And it all started with just this compromise, a little bit. We're not going to go to the bars. We're not going to really get drunk. Just a few beers in the house. Both of them had this drinking problem, and it just dragged them right down. And their lives were ruined. Don't play with sin. Don't be halfway. Be a wholehearted Christian, and you'll know the Lord's blessing and happiness. So there are various areas you can compromise in, but let's learn a lesson from Abraham and say, no, we don't want to compromise. We don't want to go down to Egypt. We don't want to just be led by the idea that we'll be more prosperous there. Life will be easier there. And we don't want to start telling half-truths, half-lies, being deceptive, because it's going to reap a sad harvest. Now the good thing is, of course, the Lord does not give up. But there are consequences to our actions. And sometimes you see Christians who are grieving over the consequences of their actions. I'm thinking now of a man that I know and work with some. Every time I see him, just about, he says, Don, you know, I think of the way I've messed up my life. I just think of the past. I think of the way I've messed up my life. And there are consequences to our actions. So maybe learn some lessons from the life of Abram. A man of faith, and yet a man who made some mistakes, serious mistakes, and they were costly for him. And yet the Lord was very kind, very gracious, very protective, watching over him and bringing him back to himself. Our God is very, very patient. Let's pray.